adopt measures to counter growing inflation and the ongoing energy crisis.
Ci dicono, ma noi dovremmo prendere...
It is not acceptable that we are not consulted by the government when they introduce important provisions. A growing number of people cannot make ends meet and extraordinary measures are needed. We must have our say.
Also on Saturday, a string of left-leaning pro-sovereignty movements staged anti-government protests in 22 cities, including Rome, Genoa, Trieste and Cagliari. In the Italian capital, over 1,000 people protested against arms supplies to Ukraine and the adoption of sanctions against Russia, which they say are only damaging Italy and the Italians.
There is a major difference between what the Italians think about the Ukraine war and the way the economy should be run and what the government and the parliament do. Finally, on Tuesday, for the first time since the start of the war, Prime Minister Draghi will address the parliament. Draghi has so far done everything he wanted.
There has been talk of a possible government crisis after Mario Draghi addresses the Senate on June 21st. A growing number of lawmakers complained that no debate has so far been held on crucial issues, including how anti-Russia sanctions can affect Italy.
High inflation, rising costs of energy, high levels of unemployment, all Italy's socioeconomic indicators are headed downwards. In addition to that, the wealthy northern Italy has been hit by an unprecedented drought, which is severely threatening water supplies and the agri-food sector, as the country is struggling to cope with years of negligence and bad policies. A hot autumn of strikes and protests is widely expected. Max Civili, Rome.
Millions of businesses across the European Union are struggling to stay open due to unprecedented costs relating to energy and supplies. We spoke to one cafe owner in Brussels.
How is it possible to survive in business? Electricity, oil, gas, and buying in stock is crazy. Prices are crazy. If we do not get more support, we will go under.
Inflation is through the roof. Poverty is on the rise. EU finance ministers have been told there needs to be a more coordinated response.
We continue to support our economies, but not in a universal way as we did during the COVID crisis, in a more targeted way.
Most EU nations are also members of NATO. An EU army is being developed. Social inequality is a growing problem, but there is no end of money for lethal weapons.
An enormous amount of equipment, ammunition, weapons have already arrived in Ukraine. But of course there are bottlenecks, there are challenges, and there also are some requirements, for instance, for training, for spare parts, to be delivered together with the specific weapons.
Even Pope Francis says the war in Ukraine was provoked or not prevented by the West. Last September, an EU agency outlined the incredible scale of corruption in Ukraine. Despite this, Kiev looks poised to join the 27-nation bloc.
Yes, Ukraine deserves European perspective. Yes, Ukraine should be welcomed as a candidate country.
Economists say sanctions against Russia are going to push up prices in the EU even more.
And some suggest Euroscepticism is going to rise like never before, resulting in the EU project crumbling by the year 2030. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Thousands of people came from across the UK Saturday to protest outside Parliament. Trade union leaders have joined frontline workers and community organisations to call for higher wages and support. The government says there is just so much it can do, though, blaming the situation on a global energy crisis and the conflict in Ukraine. In a long-winded address, the Chancellor of the Exchequer promised a payout to ease energy bills, but it's too little, too late.
The cost of living crisis here in the UK is real. Everything from food, fuel to rent has gone up in price. And that means people across the country are having to tighten their belts. And that in turn means fewer donations to food banks and more mental health challenges.
Food banks say the number of people turning up has increased massively. And the kind of people turning up has most definitely changed. People in full-time work and key workers. Even with both adults working, households are struggling to make ends meet.
My daughter, Jess, she's a nurse, and she had to borrow money off me to pay for the car to get to work. And it's an intolerable position that the NHS staff and all workers across the country with the inflation, interest rates going up, cost of living, and we've had enough of it.
The government says it cannot completely mitigate the effects of the crisis. The Trades Union Congress, however, says while real wages across the economy are down by £68 a month compared to a year ago, bonuses for city executives has risen exponentially. So money is not reaching those who need it most, and until quite recently, were hailed as heroes.
Our postal workers that worked through COVID, that kept the country going, that were in fear of their own life for the people back home, but they stepped up to the plate, they worked through it all, and they deserve a better pay deal. So we're here with these unions to say to the government, pay our people. You clapped us, now pay us.
Although these are hard times, people at today's protest slammed the Tory government's immigration policies as well.
The thing is, they've had to come in illegally because we've closed all the quarters for us to come in legally and then just deporting them out of the country to Rwanda. It's disgraceful, particularly when this government not so long ago imposed sanctions on Rwanda because of the human rights atrocities. So there you go, that's my point.
War and famine and climate change are creating terrible situations across the world, and we want to make that better. But whilst people are trying to get away from that and seek refuge and seek asylum in our country and other countries in Europe, they should be welcomed. They should be given safe passages and they should be welcome here.
The price hikes are the worst in half a century and taken off guard many Britons, 15% of which were already food insecure, are now having to choose between heating their homes and eating. Bianca Rahimi, London.
Cheongwa-dae, South Korea's Blue House, is now open to the public. The presidential office has moved, with the former grounds becoming a park and popular attraction. The move was finalized just weeks before incoming President Yoon Suk-yeol's inauguration. The new office is in South Korea's Ministry of National Defense, adjacent to a U.S. military base, with the government this week opening a park there on a 10-day trial. President Yoon moved the presidential office to leave behind what he called the era or symbol of imperial power and get closer to the people. It's been suggested that visitors to this park will be able to see the president working in his fifth-floor office. Just one problem. The park is polluted with toxins in the soil and groundwater many times the levels otherwise considered safe. An environmental catastrophe a long time in the making, say activists.
These facilities have never been restored from their use by the Japanese Army and then the U.S. Army. You can find the boiler tubes and pipelines, which have decayed underground, leaking oil, resulting in the gradual accumulated contamination of the soil, not just from 1 or 2 years, but over decades.
The U.S. base is in the process of returning to South Korean control. According to government surveys, benzene, xylene, and other hydrocarbons, as well as arsenic and cancer-causing dioxins, have been detected at harmful levels in more than 60% of the area.
After the entire U.S. base is returned, they should execute a detailed investigation into how contaminated it is and establish a plan to clean up the pollution. And after the cleanup is carried out and verified, then the park can finally be built. According to the original government plan, it'll take about 7 years.
The Yoon administration plans to open the park fully in September and feature an American-themed culture zone, or Little L.A. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to the IRIB English Radio, and this is the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. We have with us in studio today our guest speaker, Brother Al-Musawi. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Brother Al-Musawi, I have a very important question for you. That is, sometimes when a child is kind of destroyed, now your relatives come up and say, it was the fault of his parents that they did not brought up him in a certain way they were supposed to. But do you think in upbringing a child, it is only the parents who play a very important role, or even it's much more like society or any other thing, a teacher, a guide, a mentor, a friend, in fact, does play a role?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A hadith just came to my mind from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He says, إِنَّكُمْ مَسْؤُولُونَ عَنِ الْأَرْضِ وَبَهَائِمِهَا, that you are responsible for earth and whatever dwells on earth, be it animals or humans. Sometimes we have a very selfish look into life, and I think only of myself and only of my children, right?
Yeah,
God says, protect yourself, protect your children from hellfire, right? That's what the verse in the Quran, قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. And we leave it there. We don't expand on the rest of the verses of the Quran. The idea is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He put us as human beings, as vicegerent and leaders on earth, نِجَعْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ, that the role of a khalifa, the role of a leader, and which is this ayah, at least in a general sense, and includes every human being. In a specific sense, it includes the prophets and the imams. If me and you are in the khalifa, the job of a khalifa is to maintain the safety, the physical and mental and spiritual safety of his subjects,
yeah.
Right? So you are no longer only responsible for your child. You are actually responsible for every child.
All right.
So it's not just thinking of yourself, because this is a very selfish look. Especially in Islam. You know how the hadith says, Al-Muslim like to the other Muslim, like they are a body, if one part feels pain, the other feels? You and I, we do two separate families. You have your own kids, I have my own kids. If your kids go through issues, I should feel the pain. Why? Because we are in the same body.
Yeah.
And the hadith says the Muslims are like a bunyan marsus, like a very strong wall. And with wall is one brick holds the other brick together. If one falls, the rest will fall. So we have to act and feel for one another. I can't just say, well, it's okay. And this is what we do. We look at the parents like, he's a bad parent. Look how he's raising his children. I get to ask a question. What have you done about it?
Yeah.
Did you try to help? Or are you just sitting at your home just gossiping and backbiting the other parents and calling them bad names?
Yeah.
Because we don't understand, we don't realize this, that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least from the aspect of al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy an munkar, because this is a duty. It's actually wajib, one of the wajibat, one of the branches of religion.
Al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy an munkar, to where it's good.
Yeah,
and
to enjoin good and forbid evil. So what are we doing about it? So to go back to your question, that when it comes to children, yes, the first and foremost, it is the responsibility of the parents. We
all
can't.
Right.
Deny that, right? Because they are the amana and the trust of the parents first and foremost. The second responsible party when it comes to kids is the education system that is run by the government itself. The education system that we have, it has to have the purpose of educating children to become better humans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the education system that we have today is just raising our kids to obtain a job when they grow up. That's all it's doing. Not teaching them to become better humans. They're teaching them to become, this is what I call, become better batteries, so they can suck their energy when they grow older. They can turn them into a doctor or an engineer, so I can use you.
All right.
Not that you could become a better human.
All right, so first is the parents, and second is the education system.
Yeah.
Brother Al-Musavi, I'll be talking to you after a very short while. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. I have with me Brother Al-Musavi, who is talking about the upbringing of children. Brother Musavi, you said that education system today is not making our kids into, it's not turning our kids to be, into be good humans. It's actually making them batteries, which they can consume once they need it.
That's right. So the education system that we have today is an absolute failure, a failure to the best of our...
To its peak.
To the extent of the word.
Yeah.
And it's not just the Western world, but even every Islamic country, the system also the same. Because it is, it became a norm that I only, you know, like we always ask the children what you want to be when you want to grow up. That's basically the education that we're giving them. I want to turn you into something. I don't care about your humanity. I don't care about your akhirah. I don't care about your morality. All I care about, what are you going to be? Are you going to be a doctor, an engineer, or this or that? So we kind of, so the programs that are set in the education system is basically to turn kids into this kind of robotic, you know, battery machines that they can use when they grow older, put them into use. Nothing for their morality, nothing for their afterlife, nothing in this regard. The third category or the third group of people responsible for kids and for children, not just the family, not the education system, but the educators themselves.
All right.
Now, when we talk about, for example, teachers, when we talk about nannies, or when you talk about private tutors, when you talk about anyone who is in the education system, they are responsible. Me as a teacher, when I teach kids, I'm responsible. I'm not just there to deliver a subject and get paid. And this is what teachers are these days. They don't care about kids. All they care about is the fact that they have a job and they're getting paid. They come to the classroom, they deliver the lecture. They don't care what kids are learning or not. It's not their problem anymore, right? Back in the day, the teacher used to become like a spiritual father.
Yeah.
Where he does everything. He even beats you up if you don't do the right thing. Why? Because he feels the responsibility as of a parent. Now, these days, they don't care. I mean, at least in my school, the teachers don't care. Like, the teacher is teaching, and we're playing, we're doing things, and the teacher doesn't care because he knows that if he talks to us and he tries to yell at us, we will make his life a living hell.
Yeah.
So he just doesn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even the educators themselves are failing miserably as well because they just don't care anymore. Their purpose became to make a living rather than to bring better human beings or to create better human beings. So they are also available in this regard. The other party also that's responsible for kids in general, society itself. Other families are also responsible. Like I said at the beginning, it's not just me. I don't live by myself. Human beings, in our nature, we are civilized. As we say, in Arabic, we say, madaniyut taba. In his nature, he's civilized. He has to live with people.
All right.
He can't live by himself.
Well, so since a man is a social being, he has to live in a society, and society does impact him. We'll talk on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, O nation of Shia, teach your children the poems of Al-Abdi, because he was a follower of the religion of Allah.
Ya Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is the program Islamic Upbringing. I am Zainab, and I have with me in the studio Brother Al-Musawi. Brother Musawi, you said that there are a lot of things that affect the upbringing of a child, be that parents, be that education system, be that a mentor, the guide. And now you said is the society. So how does the society impact the nurturing or upbringing a child?
Like I said, since we are civilized in our nature that I can't live by myself, I depend on you and you depend on me and everyone depends on each other. So I depend on you to become a doctor, for example. You depend on me to be a baker. I depend on someone to be a farmer. So we have to be dependent on each other. So what happens at the end of the day, we form this circle of society. We become entangled and attached to one another. So if I have kids, you have kids, and other families have kids, if we see one of these bricks of this family or the society falls, if we don't do anything about it, what happens is that it will come and affect me and you as well.
All right.
So because my neighbor's children, if they get corrupted, they will eventually corrupt my kids. So the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam says that get your girls married early. And he gives example or the parable of a fruit. He says once the fruit is ripe, if you don't pick it, then it will get rotten, and then once it's rotten, it will destroy the fruits next to it.
Yeah.
Like bring a box of tomatoes and put one rotten tomato in it.
The entire box will get
rotten. In one day, the whole thing will get rotten.
Oh my right? God.
So in society, it's the exact same thing, that when you have one family corrupted, if I and you don't do anything about it, it will come to our side and it will corrupt our kids. So as a society in general, we are responsible for one another. That we need to have that sense, which we don't these days. We just don't care.
Really,
Put it simply, we just do not care. As long as my child is okay, I don't care what happens to the whole world. And that's why we're starting to have this, pollution happening in society. And at the end of the day, my child and your child go to the same school. They do the same thing. They talk to each other online. And if my child is corrupted, surely he will corrupt your child. I mean, most people who start smoking, most people who start addictions and drugs and everything is through their friends.
Yeah.
Right? All bad. I remember.
The company they were.
Yeah. I remember in my school, kids used to bring pornography magazines. Kids used to bring alcohol in Coke bottles. They used to bring their smokes and they used to do it in the school. And obviously, they try to get as much with them as possible. Me being there without any education, without knowing what's going on, I'm just a child. I would go with the flow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless I am being raised properly to know that these things are wrong and can't do that. So anyway, the point is society is responsible. Me and you are responsible not only for our children, but we are responsible for each other as well.
Yeah. So you also like, as you said in the previous hadith that, if all Muslim nation is like a body, if one part is hurt, the entire body should feel the pain. And we have so many verses saying that in case you see a Muslim in pain and it does not affect you, you should actually doubt your iman, you should doubt your faith. Thank you so much, Brother Musawi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us. Please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by searching Call of Islam Radio. You can also listen to our sessions again on our official website, that's parstoday.com. Go to Call of Islam. Until another session, fi amanillah and God bless you all.
Do you know? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's topic, the importance of moral excellences in Islam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In this topic, we want to talk about the importance of the moral excellences in Islam and how they are fundamental and crucial for in the Islamic perspective. When we look at Islam and the main personality of Islam, and he is the personality of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, we find that the most crucial thing and the most fundamental thing on which Islam was based was the moral quality and moral excellences of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. The charismatic personality of the Holy Prophet was actually based upon his moral excellences. So when anyone used to come to Holy Prophet and deal with him, he used to find that this personality is like a very powerful son of moral qualities. And he used to be attracted towards those moral qualities. And when he used to live with Holy Prophet, and when he used to see the actions of Holy Prophet, he eventually came to realize the fact that this personality, such a personality with such a higher standard of moral qualities and excellences, is not a liar. When he tells us about the hereafter, about Allah and about revelation, he cannot be a liar. So it was his moral standard, the power of his ethical and moral qualities, that was the source, that was the foundation which was effective in acceptance of his call, his acceptance of his message. So in the personality of the Holy Prophet and Islam, we find that moral qualities and characters are the basic foundation. Welcome back. This is A to Z. Well, we were talking about the moral qualities of the Holy Prophet and the centrality of the moral qualities in Islam. Well, we talked about the personality of Holy Prophet and the centrality of the moral character and moral standards in the life of the Holy Prophet. So when we come to Quran, we see that Quran says about the Holy Prophet, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you are on the highest level of moral excellences. You are the highest manifestation and the highest standard of the moral qualities. And also in another saying, the Holy Prophet says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent to lift the moral excellences to the highest possible level, to reach it to lift the moral standards to the highest possible levels. So the personality of the Holy Prophet and the main character of the Holy Prophet are the moral excellences, makarimul akhlaq. And that great prophet, who is the prophet of moral excellences, whose central message was to develop our inner personality with the moral qualities, said, "Do you want to know about who is the best and most perfect believer? Akmalul mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khuluqan. Do you want to know about the most perfect mu'min? Yeah, the most perfect mu'min is the one who is best in his moral qualities, who is best in his moral standard and moral character." So in the perspective of Islam and in the Islamic viewpoint, the moral quality is the standard that makes a person perfect. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He may bless us with His blessing so we gain these moral excellences and obey our Prophet, peace be upon him. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.com/EN, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
In the limelight.
In the United States, a resolution adopting the false claim that former President Donald J. Trump was the victim of a stolen election in 2020 has been passed by Republican State Party delegates in Texas. The article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times journalists Azzy Pabera and David Montgomery. The piece is titled, "Texas Republicans Approve Far-Right Platform Declaring Biden's Election Illegitimate." The Republican Party in Texas made a series of far-right declarations as part of its official party platform over the weekend, claiming that President Joe Biden was not legitimately elected, issuing a rebuke to Senator John Cornyn for his work on bipartisan gun legislation, and referring to homosexuality as an abnormal lifestyle choice. The platform was voted on in Houston at the state party's convention, which concluded on Saturday, 18th of June. The resolutions about President Biden and Senator Cornyn were approved by a voice vote of the delegates, according to James Wesolek, the communications director for the Republican Party of Texas. The statements about homosexuality, as well as additional stances on abortion that called for students to learn about the humanity of the preborn child, were among more than 270 planks that were approved by a platform committee and voted on by the larger group of convention delegates using paper ballots. The results of those votes were still pending on Sunday, but Mr. Wesolek said it was rare for a plank to be voted down by the full convention after being approved by the committee. The resolutions adopting the false claims that former President Donald J. Trump was the victim of a stolen election in 2020, as well as the other declarations, were the latest examples of Texas Republicans moving further to the right in recent months. Republicans control both chambers of the legislature, the governor's mansion, and every statewide office, and have used their dominance to push through anti-abortion legislation, create supply chain problems by temporarily adding additional state inspections at the border, and renominate the Trump-backed state attorney general over a member of the Bush family in a primary runoff in May. Mr. Wesolek disputed the notion that the decorations were tied to the state party's rightward tilt. "That was the will of the body," Mr. Wesolek said on Sunday. "We pride ourselves on being a grassroots party." State party conventions in Texas have at times been venues for publicly airing internal rifts. In 2012, for example, Governor Rick Perry was loudly booed at the state Republican convention in Texas when he said he was backing the powerful lieutenant governor over Ted Cruz in a contested primary for the Senate. On Friday, Senator John Cornyn, a key negotiator in the gun talks with Democrats, was booed by convention goers during a speech in which he tried to assure Republicans that the new legislation would not infringe on the rights of gun owners. The state party's resolution embracing the baseless 2020 stolen election claims stated that substantial election fraud in key metropolitan areas significantly affected the results of the election in five key states in favor of Joe Biden. The state party, the resolution continued, rejected the certified results of the 2020 presidential election, and we hold that the acting president, Joseph R. Biden Jr., was not legitimately elected by the people of the United States. The resolution encouraged Republicans to show up to vote in November and to bring your friends and family, volunteer for your local Republicans, and overwhelm any possible fraud. State Representative Steve Toth, a Republican who represented part of Montgomery County, a Houston suburb, said he left the convention before voting on the resolutions, but he expressed support for them. He said he hoped the Biden resolution would encourage Republicans and Democrats to come together and to call for a forensic audit of the 2020 presidential election. Jason Vogan, a 38-year-old, a Republican delegate from Houston, claimed credit for adding the show-up-to-vote language in the Biden resolution. "My fear is that if we keep telling people the election was stolen, they're going to not go and vote," Mr. Vogan said. Mary Lowe, a delegate from Fort Worth suburb, who was focused on education issues at the convention, said she was surprised the 2020 election results were a focus of attention by her Republican colleagues. But she added, "I don't know too many people that felt that Biden won." Mary Lowe, the chairwoman of the Tarrant County chapter of a group known as Moms for Liberty, said she was among those delegates openly critical of Senator John Cornyn. But she added that she was embarrassed by the booing and did not participate in it. "I don't believe that booing is polite," Mary Lowe said. "I feel elected officials should be treated with proper decorum." Jamie Haynes, a 47-year-old, a Republican delegate who lives in the Texas Panhandle with her husband and who says that together they own a lot of guns, said the boos directed at Senator Cornyn showed there was a resounding strong opposition that Republicans do not want their gun rights shaved. Not just taken away, but even just shaved in any form. The resolution rebuking Senator John Cornyn that passed at the convention opposed red flag laws, which allows guns to be seized when people deemed to be dangerous. Those laws, according to the resolution, violate one's right to due process and are a pre-crime punishment of people not adjudicated guilty. The homosexuality plank passed the platform committee by a vote of 17 to 14, according to Mr. Vaughan, a member of the committee who actually voted against it. "It does nothing to move us forward as a party and gain voters," he said in a video of the committee meeting. In an interview, Mr. Vaughan said the shift at the convention was the result of a small number of people who make the process miserable because they want to do all this extreme far-right stuff. State Representative Steve Toth disagreed, saying that on abortion and the 2020 election, the Republican Party has been consistent in sticking to its conservative principles. "Defense of marriage, abortion, Second Amendment, where have we moved to the right?" he asked. "The Republicans have always been strong defenders of constitutional family values." One Texas congressman and a Democrat, Representative
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
This is Habibullah Fasihzada. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us, respected brothers and sisters all over the world who are listening to us right now. I really welcome you all, inshallah, in this Quranic session, in level 3 of our Quranic sessions, the Tajweed rules of the Quranic Kareem. We are going to continue our previous topics, and we will learn, inshallah, new tips on how to read the Quran Kareem with tajweed beautifully and without mistakes, inshallah, right?
وفيه الخير للإنسان ويطوي عثرة المجروح
So, respected brothers and sisters, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. Alhamdulillah, we are again with the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem Level 3 Tajweed Rules. So, in the previous session, we talked about the always heavy letters, yes? And yes. Now we are going to talk about the temporary heavy and light letters, okay? So, one of the cases was with the word Allah and Allahumma. We learned it, right?
Yes.
There is no question about it. Bismillah. Now you understand why you say Bismillah. But when it comes to Qul Huwallah, you say Allah.
Yes.
Allah is the same. But the word Allah, it's just conditional, okay?
Yes.
So temporary, it is light and sometimes it is heavy. Yes? And the next case is with the letter Ra. The letter
Ra.
Ra. Okay. Now let's talk about the letter Ra, okay? Sometimes it is heavy, sometimes it is
light.
Light. It is very important to understand this. It has a long discussion as well. So, inshallah, to cover this long discussion, let's recite a salawat, okay?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
If you look at the tajweed rules, the books, okay, that talk about tajweed rules, when you come to the letter Ra has two attributes. One of them is tafkhim. What?
Tafkhim.
And the next one is tarqiq. Tafkhim and
tarqiq.
Pay attention to the word tarqiq. What do you think?
Tarqiq is heavy sound.
Tafkhik.
Tafkhik is
tafkhim.
Tafkhim is a light sound.
Ah, just the opposite. No, just the opposite. Tarqiq talks about the light sound. Tafkhim talks about
heavy sound.
Okay. So, when do we apply the rule tafkhim? Tafkhim means mufakham. Mufakham, it comes like, it is heavy.
Mm.
Heavy, okay?
Yes.
And it has an A sound.
Oh.
But tarqiq, do you know raqiq?
Yeah.
Yes.
Raqiq, tarqiq, okay? Tarqiq means this light one, okay? Light sound. Okay, so now, there is one point that you should pay attention, okay? And that is, sometimes the tarqiq or tafkhim of the letter Ra depends on the harakat of the letter Ra. What? Sometimes. Okay, two cases are there. The first case, the tarqiq or tafkhim, it means the heavy or light sound of the letter Ra depends on the harakat of the letter Ra itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the harakat of the letter Ra. Fatha, kasra, dhamma, whatever it has. It has harakat. It means it is mutaharrik. It has harakat. It has fatha, kasra, dhamma. Next case, that is about the harakat of the previous letter, not the next letter. The previous letter. What? The previous letter. What does it mean? It means that the letter Ra is sakin.
Mm-hmm,
so,
yeah.
The letter Ra. Either the letter Ra is sakin or mutaharrik.
Mutaharrik.
If it is mutaharrik, we pay attention to the letter, the harakat of the letter Ra itself, okay? We should pay attention to the harakat. Fatha, kasra, dhamma.
Yes.
If it has sukoon and the previous letter has a harakat, so we have to pay attention to the previous letter.
Yes.
And there is also one exceptional case, okay, that we pay attention to the next letter as well.
Mm-hmm.
Inshallah, we'll talk about
These are called the tafkhim.
Tafkhim and tarqiq, both of them.
Oh.
Okay. Now, totally, Fawad Haider, if the letter Ra has kasra, totally, if the letter Ra has kasra, it is a light letter.
Sound.
It has a light sound. So we apply the rule?
Tarqiq.
Tarqiq. We apply the rule? Tarqiq. For example,
يقدري.
Can you say the word?
Yaqdiri.
Yaqdiri. All right. Yaqdiri, for example, it has kasra.
Yes.
Diri.
Yes.
Okay? It has kasra.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran.
So, let's find some more examples, okay? Sabri. والعصري. والعصري. Okay. Or for example, we can have like ir ji'i. This is example for sukun. Okay. Inshallah, we'll come to it. Ash rin. If it has tanween kasra as well, it is the same. Tanween kasra. Ash ri. Actually, it has a fatha. Yes. Ashrin.
Ishrin.
And sound at the end. Yes. Ash rin.
Ishrin.
Walfaj ri. Walayalin ash. Rin. والشفع والوت
رين
ري
ري
وات ري والوت it has alif lam when has when it has when a word has alif lam it does not have to
be. So what about 20
عش عشرين عشرين we don't عشرين yes 20 20 yes that's nice والليل إذا yes ري
ري
yes حج رين okay so these are the examples for the ra with kasra. So for the what's the rule? The rule is tarqiq here in this case, yes? So Hussein Rahullah, what if the ra has fatha or dhamma?
It is harakat. Tafkhim.
Tafkhim. So it produces a heavy sound.
Yes.
What for example? Alhamdulillahi
Rabbil.
Rabbil Alameen. Do not say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. No, 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 no.
Ar-Rahman.
Ar-Rahman. Do not say Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim. No, no, no. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Nir-Ra. Look. Nir. Example for sukun, okay? Nir-Rahim. Nir Rahim, Nir Rahim, heavy and light together.
Yes.
Nir Rahim,
sure.
Nir Rahim, together.
And so, what about if the letter previous before Ra has Sakun, then what?
We'll pay attention to the previous one. Okay?
Back to back.
So, in Arabic, remember that three letters cannot be Sakin after one another. But if we have Hamzatul Wasl, Lam, Shamsi, in this case, yes, we have.
So, like, what about Matraba?
Matraba. So, we have Mim. Ra itself has Harakat. Matraba. Ra, Ra, Fatha. So, it is heavy. Raba.
Yes.
Yes?
So, heavy is
Raba. No, Ra. If it is Ra, it has Alif. So, Raba, it has just Fatha, short sound.
So, it's light.
No, no, it's heavy.
Matraba.
Ra, ra, ra. No, it, that is what you say.
In say actual, it's ah.
No, matraba. It's not matraba, no.
So you said awesome sound is heavy.
Heavy, I said yes. I told you that. It has heavy sound. Sometimes it is short sound with short vowels. Fatha, kasra, dhamma. They are short. Short aw sound, not aw, no. Short aw sound. Ah, ra, ra. Okay, but if it has, it has like a long vowel, like alif maddi, ah, ra, ra, ra,
so
khalidin. We have kha, khalanqa, khalidin. So we have short vowels, we have long vowels. With long vowels, we produce an ah sound. With short vowels, we produce ah, 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 not long one. Oh no, ah. Just fatha. Alright?
Yes.
Matraba.
Yeah, matraba. Do not say matraba. No.
Matraba.
Matraba. That's nice. That is matraba. Nice. So, depending on the harakat of the letter ra, we have two groups, two cases. First, either the letter ra has kasra. So, in this case, tarqiq.
Tarqiq.
Okay, what does it mean? Light sound.
Light sound, yeah.
Yes.
Rizq. Rizq.
Yes.
Next one. Bis. The letter R has fatha or dhamma.
Dhamma.
In this case?
Taf.
Taf.
For Taf-hi. Example, Taf-hi. We have... Can you make an example for Ra with dhamma?
Yes, you can.
Yeah?
Make, yeah.
Can you make an example?
Ruh.
Ruh. Tanazzalu al-malaikatu wa ruh. Ruh, ruh. Do not say war ruh, no. War ruh. When it has a heavy sound, it is much closer to the R sound in English, yeah. The letter R. Rule. Not the R that Indians say, R. The Indians say this way, okay? But the actual R sound, R. والروح والروح
تنزل الملائكة والروح
yes تنزل الملائكة والروح والروح yes okay that's it about the first case with the haraka depending on the haraka of the letter ra itself yes
I have a question based off things that you said If the ra have harakat of tanween, of dhamma or fatha or tanween kasra, whatever these rule are also applied.
Yeah, yeah, tanween? Yeah. Tanween dhamma or tanween fatha means the ra has a fatha,
but tanween sound.
Yeah, tanween fatha or tanween dhamma means that the ra has fatha or dhamma plus n sound or noon sound. Sorry, noon sound. Tanween kasra means the letter ra has kasra plus noon sound.
Yes.
For example, amran, ra, it's clear, it has fatha. Yeah. Nice question, but it is very clear, yes? Okay. Nice question, but nicer answer. Okay, let's recite a salawat, but Allah. Before a salawat, let's give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much. We will be back, inshallah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.